Hello there and welcome to the latest episode of the Sith Taker Snapshots podcast. I'm your host again today, Rich Polly, and joining me is the bestest boy, Liam Baker.
Debatable, but I'll take it.
I actually genuinely thought you just wandered off for a moment there, but I'm guessing that you were trying to ensure the safety of your attack dog in Fallout 4.
I'm not actually playing Fallout 4 at the moment. It's crashed so many times, I'm giving myself a little bit of a break from it because I'm mad. I think through crashes, I've lost about 13, 14 hours worth of gameplay.
Okay. Things that you hadn't said since you were about 15.
Yeah, back in the days where I'd gone to save it and I didn't have enough memory on the memory card.
Yeah. So you ripped the memory card out in anger and crashed your PlayStation. That's how it goes.
I wouldn't
imagine that.
I wouldn't do that to my PS5.
Also joining us today is Tim King.
Hello there.
Hi, Tim. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good, thanks. Nice bank holiday weekend. Went and saw the Phantom Menace today, so that was on 25th anniversary. So it's quite funny watching it now, like, you know, after all those years, and you're literally just ticking off the memes as they're sort of, you know, as they're being said or being played out within the film. But you know, I enjoyed it.
All memes all day. Do you know what? The Phantom Menace, when it first came out, got so much crap from the fan base and the community and people like that, just going, oh, it's crap because of all these reasons and Jar Jar Binks and blah, 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 ruined my life and all this. And I was there going, but it's got space wizards and lightsabers. It's really cool because it's got, and there's been no Star Wars for years, like literally no Star Wars for like 20 years or something. And suddenly here was Star Wars, and it had the opening scroll, and it had it was amazing. It was lovely. I mean, the quality of the movie itself, debatable, but the quality of the memes it's produced are quite high.
Yeah.
Cool. Also joining us today is, I'm going to say the captain of the self-titled most successful squadron in X-Wing, it's Dan Athey.
Good evening. I'm delighted to be called captain of Steel Sea X-Wing. I think we live rent-free in a lot of people's heads with that claim.
It's unfounded.
Unfounded. It's generating grade A content.
It's generating community engagement, and community engagement equals new players. So I'm all for it.
It does for sure. We get a lot of bites on that bait. I'm going to keep peddling it while it's working.
Oh yeah, might as well. So Dan's joined us because he's been at a couple of the recent tournaments that we've been to as well, running one of them and attending both and doing well at both of them as well. So there are these tournaments in the kind of the quasi in between worlds of worlds and the new points or the new season and the new GTs. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about community building. We've just touched on it there a little bit. I remember a little bit ago, Dan and I had a chat about, you know, how do we get to build this community up, because we've not had a lot of people and there's only a couple of us turning up and we're running events and nobody's coming, and now you've got kind of 10 or 12 people turning up to everything. So I just wanted to have a quick chat with you about, you know, kind of how you worked that and what you did and, you know, what other people might be able to emulate to try and and grow their own communities as well.
Really going back years there, aren't we? I can remember I was on the podcast years ago. I sort of getting goosebumps and in awe of coming on. And I'm still delighted to be here, but yeah.
You've met us now. You've met us enough times now. You're like, I know those idiots.
It felt like speaking with X-Wing celebrities.
If only you knew then what you know now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a bit about the upcoming events that I've kind of been trailed a little bit for what we know about them, because that's not a lot. Before we do any of that, Tim has just reminded me. So we put the Sith Taker Open tickets on sale on the 30th of April at 10 a.m. The first ticket sold at 6 seconds past 10 a.m. The last ticket sold at 10:21 and a few seconds of the ones that were open for general sale. Once we'd put all of the ones that had kind of been reserved for kind of people in the Sith Takers who weren't able to get in and all that kind of stuff, we got up to 128. We had a chat with Element and said, can we fit anybody else in? We figured out a way to get it up to 146. So we went back out to the wait list, and everybody on the wait list kind of just went, yep. So within basically 24 hours, we were up to 146, and we've still got a 30-person wait list. It's absolutely phenomenal. I'm blown away. I genuinely can't believe that we sold out that quickly. I thought last year was an anomaly. I was a bit worried, and I'd said to some of the lads, like, we might just not sell out with the news about Worlds. People might have been like, whatever, I don't care. Yeah, and it turns out that with the news about Worlds, what actually happened was a bunch of people went, well, I can afford one international trip to play X-Wing, so I'll go to STO instead. And then, so I'll pause for a minute so you can all go, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You've done incredibly well.
Yeah.
Totally radical.
Well, for anybody who's been at Element before and at the STO before, we're not squeezing extra people into the existing rows of tables. So if anybody's thinking, wow, it felt really busy when there was 112 or 108 or whatever in there for the last couple of years. If everybody turns up and if we get through the wait list and we've still got like 140 plus people, then the bar area now has got a bunch of gaming tables in it, card gaming tables in it. So what we can do is we can push those together. They're very flat and very level and very new and not at all weird, but they are a bit lower than the other ones. So what we can do is we can stick a bunch of tables down there as well. So we've been able to fit in an extra bunch of people on those. The only real problem we've got now is we don't know where we're going to put lunch, because we are still providing lunch for that number of people. So pour one out and spare a thought for the lady who's going to be making approximately 300 Subway sandwiches, or not Subway sandwiches, not Subway, but 300 sandwiches.
The food was better this year with it not being Subway, I think. That was
yes, it was very much
success, wasn't it? Now, it's a really good venue at Element, isn't it? And space has never been an issue at SEL. So it's reassuring to hear that you're not compromising on that.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's good because, like, having been to Worlds where you had approximately 4.5 inches of space on either side of each mat, and then about 6 inches in front of the mat, where you were supposed to just put everything, and everybody was bumping elbows and stuff from other people's tables were flying onto your tables and stuff. It was just like, right, we can't be that. We have to be what we already are, which is leaving enough space for people to have their stuff and to play in relative comfort. So it's going to be busy. It's going to be hot and sweaty unless you're in a corner next to an open window or a fire door or something that's been left open. But it's still going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. And we had the hilarity of looking up prices on booking.com of the two local hotels. Just after a bunch of people who'd secured tickets then obviously went to book a hotel. And because of algorithms and surge pricing, the Alma Lodge, which on its best day could be described as a bit ropey,
that's
tired.
That's the cheaper one of the two, isn't it?
That's the cheaper one of the two, was selling a single room for about £18,000 a night. because algorithms are weird. And they just went, oh, this is really popular. Quick, ram the price up.
You should be getting commission.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have sold any hotels at 18 grand a night.
No, like, you know, I know Airbnb does well. We stayed where the Germans stayed the year before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poland.
Yeah. I'm just going to move on from that. There's a nice kind of gang of Airbnbs around the area. I know the Greenaway stayed in one last year. Mm-hmm. The Germans always stay in one. The French always stay in one. It's only the English people that just go Premier Inn, easier. Don't have to cook. Let's go.
Breakfast, Premier Inn. That's like a pre-tournament social, though, isn't it?
Pretty much. And like the absolute idiot I am as the organizer of the event, I didn't think to book a room in the Premier Inn before the tickets went live. So I'm probably going to be staying at home for this one, but I'll be all right with that.
Well, doesn't your house become an international Airbnb?
That has to be discussed with Mrs. Polly, because she was happy to receive guests a couple of years ago and the year before that. But last year, she was equally happy that I just went and stayed in a hotel and there weren't any weird foreigners turning up in her house.
Your knowledge.
Yeah. But we because we've moved it earlier this year, it's not in the school holidays. Last year, it was in the school holidays, so my parents were over because they tend to come over in the school holidays to spend time with the grandkids. Because we're not in the school holidays, I might have a spare room. But this isn't a signal for everybody listening to drop me a message on Discord and go, oh, those hotel costs are ferocious. Can I stay in your spare room? Because I might still actually be just sleeping in a hotel or grabbing an Airbnb with somebody or something like that. We'll see.
Yes, I need to look at accommodation. I got tasked with picking up tickets for everybody.
Yes, I saw the big list of Dan Athey email.
I was really worried about the timings. My name in 8 times, email 8 times. So I just copied and pasted it all in the end. But they were all legit. I'm not retelling.
No, I checked all the names out and I thought, wow, that's a bunch of lazy people.
It's people with real jobs, unlike myself.
People who have to go out to work, not stay at home. Yeah. No, there was a lot of people who did multiple orders. Like I think 8 or 9 was the biggest multiple order. But there were a lot of people like did 4 or 5. Then when I went through the list, I think there was only one duplicate ticket bought that got refunded fairly quickly, where somebody bought one, but also their brother bought one for them, sort of thing, or something like that. It was just like,
I'm not entirely surprised how fast it sold out. I think it sold out quick last year, and then there was a huge rush for tickets, weren't there?
I mean, it's
one of the highlights of the X-Men calendar. It is probably one of my favorite events.
It feels a bit like, to me, if I was taking myself out of the organizer's shoes, it feels a bit like, to me, the way that the system opens used to feel, where just people from everywhere just got together to play X-Wing and have fun. And it wasn't, there was no pressure, there's no stress about it. It was just, you're here to play X-Wing and enjoy yourself and have a good time. And win or lose, you're going to get some prize support. You're going to be relatively happy. Yeah,
it's good. Fantastic. It is a highlight. We're bringing a couple of new players, and they can't quite get their head round why we're so excited about an event in February. But
so don't worry, the venue will be warm enough. You'll be fine. When we had the one in August and it was 30 degrees, and I think it was a regional. There was about 90 people in element for an August regional, and I ended up, as Ben likes reminding people, wearing a wife beater with a Sith Taker's patch ironed onto the front of it. And everybody was just sweating. Like, they had 4 desk fans, literally desk fans, and 1 industrial fan positioned apparently strategically around the room. It was not successful in keeping the room cool, especially since sweaty overweight nerds like myself were standing in front of the industrial one and demanding that be their fixed table, and just standing in front of the fan. And it was like, if you sat down and let that fan blow around the room, everyone would be a little bit cooler. And they're like, nope. I am here.
I feel like I can smell it now.
Yeah. Table 7 is wind table. Table 7's where the big fan's pointing straight at it. The STO is sold out. We've got we're really happy. We've got a really awesome trophy coming. Have to just mention this very quickly. It doesn't matter which X-Wing fighter pilot helmet gets won first. It was our idea. And it's so funny. Basically, we got Ryan to do an X-Wing helmet for us in Taker colors and everything like that.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't been made yet. He hasn't started ours yet. He started the one he's doing. So we thought, that's a cool idea. And then, so he said, he's going to do one for his own art show. And that's that's awesome. That's this lovely pink Sabine Wren thing, which is, phenomenal with all like glitter and flames and stuff.
Yep.
And then we found a place where he could buy the Trapper Wolf Black Series electronic helmets for like, they were like 45 quid or something, down from 130 or something daft.
Okay.
And he was like, massive budget, massive, like, this is amazing. I'm going to buy two. I'm going to get one for you, one for me. We'll do it. And we're like, right, okay. So we sent him like money and we did all that kind of thing. And then a couple of weeks later, I saw one and it was white with red flames on the side. And I was like, that's not the Sabine one. I messaged him and I said, is that the Welsh one? And he was like, yeah. It turned out that Dylan said, oh, no, it's quite short notice. Can you do us something for the Welsh Open? And he just went, yep, because I've got so many ideas for cool helmets. You're having one of those as well. So the Welsh Open is going to have a really cool helmet. But Ryan has assured me that ours will be, and I quote, epic. He's going to, and I quote, knock my socks off. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
That's quite the claim, isn't it?
Yeah.
He did well last year?
Yeah, it was phenomenal, that thing. Yes.
I really enjoyed the pictures of Corentin holding it on the plane back to France. Yeah.
Trying to get it back to France, yeah. Ended up doing all sorts of things. So anyway, that's enough of self-congratulation about the STO. Now we've got to get to the point where we have to try and figure out what to do and how to run it and what prizes to order and everything like that. But we'll have the same kind of stuff as last year. Weirdly enough, the one thing we've got a bit of a challenge with, and we're currently bending our brains to how to solve it, is that because there's been a bit of a lack of store level organized play recently, we don't actually have very much stuff left for a bounty table, because last year's bounty table was crazy with all the world stuff and tons of cards and loads and loads and loads of stuff that people just donated from like all over, like the old FFG vault. This year we're like, maybe we don't do a bounties, but then everybody likes bounties. Maybe we have everybody to think about it. A different way to do bounties. So we're trying to think of a different way to do bounties.
Ask Ian Franklin for half the stuff back.
I'm trying to think if he's... I think he's still on the wait list. Ian, can we have that stuff back, please, so we can stick it back on the bounty table? We've got a couple of ideas for a different way to do bounties, so you still get... the way to do it, but rather than winning random stuff, you'll win specific things that you can then use as game components. So like, I don't know, rather than just getting participation prizes being some tokens, you'll get your participation prize for playing, but then every bounty you claim, you'll get another bounty chip, which will be a usable in-game token, like a target lock or something like that. And then the person at the end who gets the most target locks wins the most, or most tokens, or whatever it is we end up using it. Probably charge tokens, because you can never have enough charge tokens, let's be honest.
Need charges. Yeah,
yeah, then the winner will win the top bounty prize instead of, you know, 47,000 random alt darts. And we've still got a pile of random alt darts anyway, so... Anyway, that's enough of me thinking out loud. But that's where we are at the moment. Right, let's talk about... What do you want to talk about first? Let's talk about Element Legends. So the Element Legends series is basically a thing that Element Games do where they run smaller events for all of the game systems that they have at Element, where they've got a club night. So basically they run them for... all the Star Wars games, all of the Warhammer games, Blood Bowl. Basically, if there's a minis game, there's probably an Element Legends event for it. And the real prize is you get your name on the wall if you win one of these events. So they've got a big plaque thing, big board, like in an old gentleman's cricket club next to the bar.
It's exactly like a golf club feel, hasn't it?
Yeah. And if you win an Element Legends event, you get your name up. So Tim was the first winner of the X-Wing Element Legends. So his name is like on the top row or the top two rows or something like that, because it was one of the first Legends events that they ran. And then we've also got Adam Tudor, former host of the podcast from pre-COVID times and no longer plays X-Wing, decided to turn up to the second one, just casually won it. That was fine. And then this third one that got ran a couple of weeks ago.
No, that's the fourth one.
Oh, is it?
Tim's on there. Who won twice, the third one? I believe.
Who won the third one, Rich? Who won?
Oh, was it you again, Tim?
Oh, was it me again? Because I only attended the first and the third. So this is it. So I can only attend every other Legends event because, you know, it's only fair. So, yeah, I'll be back for number five.
Who would want to win their own event?
I'm not running it. I just turn up. You know, it's my local event.
Yeah, so they're nothing to do with us. We don't run them. And we don't actually promote them either. We just kind of, there are, like, it's a Sunday four-rounder sort of thing, the Element run to...
It's in, so I've been doing the weekly events we're going to post again on our Facebook page, so it is included in that, but it's not a club event, it's very much an Element Games event, but we do obviously plan it, because it's on our doorstep, but I was down in Leicestershire playing Blood Bowl, so I wasn't available.
Yeah, I didn't get to come. It was kind of on my I might come tracker, and then I got permission to come to the team event, which obviously didn't work out, but I was like, I can't dip out for two in a row and maintain moral harmony. So I decided to pass up Element Legends to come to the team event. So anyway, Dan, you won the Element Legends event.
I did, yeah. It was a really nice event. 13 players, so quite a comfortable little room.
Yeah.
It's always strange being at Element. I'm only there really for STO, and I'm still... kind of like surprised when it's empty.
Yeah.
But no, it was nice. Go on.
So it's what they run the Legends events for, is when they've basically got like a quarter hall, or, you know, if they've got a half hall booking and a quarter hall booking, and then they've got a quarter hall free, or they've got a half hall booking and the other half of the hall's free, they'll be like, well, let's run a Legends event and then allow some casual gaming, because they know that they'll just get more people to come in and game.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's weird when it's less busy, when you're used to it being crawling with people.
Absolutely rammed and knowing like 100 people in the room. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, this place does exist outside of the first weekend of February.
So you took a list. So you took a list that you made yourself, right?
Yeah, it felt really good to win with a list that I invented entirely by myself. No, I can't claim any credit. So
you changed some of the upgrades around on a couple of the shows.
Optimized, but yeah. No, I've spoken with Tom Fieldsend. So the list is Tom Fieldsend and Matt Coggins. Matt Coggins apparently always gets overlooked in the creation of this list. So, Tom Fieldsend came second at STO with effectively the same list.
Yeah.
His PO has Proton Torpedoes and Magpulse. My PO has Plasma and APT. Apart from that, it's basically the same list.
You've got Lone Wolf, he's got Heroic, I think is the other difference to PO.
Yes.
Because he likes to fly his PO next to his Ray, where you've obviously opted for a different flight pattern at times.
Yeah. So, very, very similar. PO, Ray, the only Ray build there is. And then there's two chunky Y-wings that go and get in everyone's way and tag objectives, Shasta and Chorus.
While dropping concussion bombs on people.
While dropping, yes, often on themselves and Ray and Poe, but
it's fine.
It's a measured risk.
That's what bombs are for, right? Yes. Damage yourself.
That's what shields are for.
Yeah. The shields don't help with concussion bombs, mate.
I've honestly learned that the hard way.
So I've got half points. No, I've still got all my shields. No, you've only got one health left on Poe. What?
Yeah.
If he gets hit by another concussion bomb, you're dead with full shields. Oh, I feel a bounty coming on.
Yeah, there you go. That's what's on the table.
Yeah.
And no, it was a good run. I played a couple of Sith Takers, which landed quite nicely. And then it ultimately came down to a final against Tom Reed, who is a pretty good player, isn't he?
He's reasonable.
Mm. He's decent.
He's decent.
A thing or two in his life.
Yeah, he's on B-Wings at the minute, and he's doing horrible things with them. I think the matchup does suit my list, which is helpful.
Yeah, so when we were doing our pairings for the team event, when he looked at the things, he just put you down as a red on the traffic light system. He was just like, nope, do not want Ray. do not want to face Ray.
Very satisfying to know, because the pairings obviously at the team event it didn't go that way, and we did have a rematch.
But he did say, you know, like he did say the same for any Ray, and I was like, you do know that you'll probably beat most of the Ray, just, you know, if you get munched on by one, that can happen with B-Waves. Yeah. Or, you know, you could annihilate, you could catch it with your five ships and kill it. And then you've won. And he was like, yeah, it's just a loss to Dan, so I don't like it. Fine. But I know that his competitive brain is worrying over how to beat it now.
Oh, for sure. It was, as I say, without spoiling the next event, we had a rematch the week after.
Yeah.
And he was well aware of all the tricks that I was trying to pull with Ray.
Yeah. But just looking through, yeah, you've played against a lot of the a fair few rebel lists in your run. So Rick and Tom both flying. Probably B-Wings, because Rick loves a B-Wing.
Rick had the non-Battle of Endogena.
Mm-hmm.
It lets him get Luke and Wedge in, but that Gina is not nearly as scary as Battle of Endogena.
No, Battle of Endogena is busted and really good.
Really, really good. Whereas that one, we often refer to her ability as the annoying girlfriend, where you have to pass that stress off somewhere, and you know one of the boys are taking it.
It's one of who doesn't have a stress? You.
It's quite un-PC, but it's...
Yeah.
It really doesn't help. There's nobody in that list that wants that stress or can really actively deal with it particularly well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was nice for you because you came over, like you messaged me before the event and you were a bit worried that you were going to come over and just get paired into like your local players the whole time. But you came over and you played against three...
Rob. Round one, yeah.
So Rob, Matt,
Tom and Rick.
So four Sith takers. Or Tom, whatever he calls himself. Sometimes he's a Sith taker, sometimes he's Leeds. I think he's just himself, isn't he?
A man of many hats.
He's just like, I think he just enjoys playing with nerds. That's the thing. Like going to competitions. So yeah, well done. It's an interesting list, that one, you know, and we've talked through it before. I always kind of look at it and think, if you can fly a Falcon, I think it's one of the stronger Falcon lists that's out there. But you need to be able to get the best out of Rey and to know when to dive with her and when to run away with her. And that's something that I struggle to do.
If you get Rey wrong, she melts. She melts really horribly.
Yeah. I think you've flown a lot of Falcons, haven't you, Dan?
Yeah, I always seem to find I go back to a Falcon. So whether it's Han or Rey or Lando, I always seem to end up with a Falcon. And
it's
nice. A great ship.
Yeah.
And then Poe, I think Poe with Poe Overdrive is one of those things in X-Wing that is so fun to fly.
Yeah.
So there's a few things which just really click for me. So whether it's dropping proximity mines with Emon, I'll build a list to make that happen because it's so much fun. Or whether it's flipping cards with Thane.
I can hear Liam's excitement when you start talking about Emon. Yeah. He's been playing Jostero and Emon and Tirani recently.
Disgusting.
It's a lot of fun.
I can imagine. Drop a bomb and then shoot them as well. That's...
You've taken damage from that bomb. I'm going to shoot you. Oh. And then I'm going to shoot you again.
Like, procs on friendly bumps and stuff as well now. And I'm just like, I'll just carry on.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
It's up there with those things that just, when you know it's coming, I get really giddy with excitement. it happens with Thane. When you know they've got a direct hit in there, and you roll an eyeball, I'm, you know you're going to get that direct hit damage. But yes, I get
is so Thane, excited and giddy. Is Thane the ability where you can look at it?
you can look through them all, and I
pick one. Yeah,
because I'm a twat, add a bit of theatre, and I'll get all their cards. And, oh, look! Oh, that would be amazing. And cycle through them until I inevitably reveal a direct hit or a panicked pilot or something. And,
like, oh, look at all these ones! Look at that! Oh, I could give you a wounded pilot. Yes, or I could give you a loose stabilizer or just a direct hit. Yeah, take it.
Really, down. Really milk it. It's the same with Narek Steel. When you get to look at those three crits, you get to choose which one to give them. I am honestly, I'm like an excited little child that's so giddy to look at those cards. It makes me so happy.
I used to do exactly the same, that level of giddy excitement when I was flying Veni with Paige. And when somebody landed something in my front arc, thinking that my side arc was sideways, so I wouldn't be able to double tap them, and they'd only have to ride out one shot, and I would just be like,
you know that.
it's just when your thing happens and you remember it. That's the thing. It's when your thing happens and you remember it. Yeah, that's when it's good. It's like, I'm just going to drop a bomb that's going to hit your whole swarm.
I hope you've clipped that, Tim. I hope you've clipped that.
Of course he will. He clips everything. Everything I do turns into the swearing.
Yeah, it's gonna be the Christmas special. It's just an hour of Rich saying random things.
Random things that entertaining.
It's the clip show. Right, shall we move on to the team event then?
Yeah, let's do that.
Right, let's talk about Lightspeed to Belgium, the Yorkshire team event too, which is again a bit of a spoiler for something else we can talk about later on.
Yeah, I'm a fan of like a NAF title for my events. So
team event, you got 10 teams.
10 teams of three, yeah. So 30 players was a good turnout for an unofficial event.
I have to apologise on behalf of my wife's abdomen, by the way, for not being able to attend and not bring Sean either. Yes. So which put you into a position of one of the teams having to have an auto loss basically every round, which kind of sucked a bit.
A little bit. We were saying this just beforehand. So Tom Reed and Tim King were effectively a team of two. They did pick up a third player, but it was a player who's not played in an event before. And I was actually terrified that Tim and Tom, as a two-man team, were going to win the three-man team event. And knowing the...
Just win all your games, it's fine. Just win all your games.
Well, they very nearly did.
We tried, but it was at pesky Tomville. And then once I'd pretty much been beaten badly, I think Tom just threw it in against you. I don't think you could have won at that point. Because what was about a point difference between the two of you? It was pretty close to your game, wasn't it?
It was a close one, yeah. I had the crates and Tom couldn't get me. It was
Mr. Veal got positionally beat me, but then what was worse was compounded by the dice just having one of those games. And I'd commented that I just basically... my dice had just blitzed Matt Favre off the table. So I said, all right, it's all going to come back round to bite me now. And boy, did it come back to bite me. It's like Gina fires a... So bear in mind we're playing Salvage as well. Fires a proton torpedo, hit three blanks, re-rolls into... Gets the extra hit, so it's basically four hits. Gets the crit into my two and three agility ships that are carrying crates. I'm just like... Okie doke, it's just one of those games. And then I go and promptly blank out my greens anyway. So, although I had an ultra defensive list, it was an absolute kicking from Tom. So I think I probably called it in about, well, if I didn't call it in four turns, it was five turns. It was a brutal one. But no, it was a tricky, like, had a great day playing with Ellie, and it was nice to have sort of a new player and, you know, she absolutely got thrown to the wolves every round because we just put her forward because then we could choose what list she would lose to. And then that meant that we could kind of try... Well, no, but she knew that. We knew that. Our opponents knew that.
Yeah, no.
And she was there for the experience. I think she maybe played like 3 to 5 games prior to this.
Yeah. So Ellie's one of our guys' partners. So Sean Whitaker... one of the Steel City Excellent players, his partner. She's played with him at home a few times. She's she's getting into X Wing, and I think with practice she could be a good player.
Yeah.
But to be thrown in at the deep end in a team event, the reality was that she was helping people get games rather than sit and have a bye.
No, no, and she did a fantastic job from that point of view, but also for me and Tom, because we basically tanked what we felt was our worst matchup each round, and thankfully most teams capitulated and gave us, you know, that one we didn't want. So was it Jack that was running the Imperials? Vader, Gendon, Imperials for team we played.
Yeah.
So neither of us wanted to play it. So we put Ellie forwards, and Tom said before that we revealed cards that if the Imperials are there, we're choosing it. And as soon as we revealed the Imperials, we're like, well, that's that matchup done. And it meant that we could go and win our two games. So it's a little bit of tactical play with that.
I mean, Ellie, looking at her opponent, had round one, she had Liam. Round two, she had Ewan Farr from top Swiss. Kez round three, and then Jack Johnson, who's on that horrible Imperial Ace list, round four. That's a tough day for anybody.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, whilst we're sort of talking about that, I will just shout out Matt Farr and Oliver Taylor-Holmes, I think it is, because they basically were the pair that had to concede. So they were in the same situation that we were. And they actually went 2-2 over the event. We went 3-1. And, like, there's one game where maybe if they had the third player, they might have won the round, but because they had to concede, they lost. What Rich will be glad to know is that him not being at the event had no effect on mine and Tom's team performance.
It's fine.
Because the round we lost, we both lost, so it wouldn't have mattered if you were there and won. I mean, it may have affected us for tie breaks, because we finished third to Leeds Nomads, who had more individual game wins, so maybe that would have mattered. But you know, it was fine.
Yeah, you said Matt Farr there. It was Matt Flockhart and Oliver Taylor Holmes were the.
Oh, did I say
not?
Yeah, so yeah. Matt Farr was who I played, wasn't he? Yeah, Matt Flockhart.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, they were the number one Sith Takers team who came sixth.
Which, as a team of two, is a very respectable result.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think they've done well.
Yeah, I mean, just looking down, there wasn't many weak players in that room as a whole. It was a fairly spicy. Every team had a, you know, the capability to win games and to potentially beat any other team. So I do love the irony that the team that called themselves Just Give Us the Spoon already did lose and came 0-4 and, you know, with zero wins. And I was like, well, if you will it into being, you know.
Yeah, it was they acknowledged that it was a very tough room. And
yeah.
I think it all went very smoothly. I ran the day. I was really pleased with it. It was great being on a team with Kez and Tom Veal. Tom is in great form with those B-Wings, and Kez on First Order, as ever, is giving people a hard time.
Did you fly the Ray thing again?
I flew exactly the same race, yes. Yeah. It was a very good week of X-Wing for me.
Nice. So, like, if we just we'll bump on to kind of community building, because this is obviously kind of part of your
Can we just before you segue? Sorry, can we just acknowledge Dan's prize support? Because one thing he did, which was really cool, was the board runners, neoprene board runners. So they did them at Worlds, but the artwork was a bit of a mishmash. And they had
it was rubbish.
I was being polite.
You be polite. I'll be rude about it.
But they had braiding as well around it, which was a bit weird. Whereas, I think yours, you got some really nice artwork. It's like basic hangers from different factions.
So, what I wanted was I liked the sideboards at Worlds. I thought the design on them was rubbish. They took art from various factions, various real life cards, and mishmashed them together. So you had Skilled Bombardier next to Corran Horn, next to a TIE Bomber. It just didn't make any sense. So we had the idea that we put like a Rebel hangar or an Imperial hangar it would sit flush with the mat, so it's 900 mil wide. So it sits perfectly flush with the mat, and you lay your list down in the hangar, and it's like you're launching your ships into the mat. And Patriot print mats, so they're one of, this isn't a paid plug, they're one of the few places in the UK that print mats. And they do them to a really high quality. They're really good. And they were super helpful in getting those printed for us. So yeah, we had four of these sidebars, two Rebel hangers, your sort of classic Rebel hangers, junk everywhere, and a Y-wing here and an X-wing there and an A-wing there. And then two like super clean Imperial hangers, one with loads of ties in racks ready to go, and then like a Reaper and a few of the Imperial bits. But yeah, I was really happy with how they came out.
So here's the ironic thing. I thought about doing something like that a couple of years ago, before everything, for the Sith Taker Open, and I thought to myself, nah, nobody will want them. They're just another thing to carry around. They're a bit of a faff. Nobody will want them. Sure. And I'm not sure if people would bring them to like game nights or to tournaments even, possibly, because it's another thing to carry around. But what I have seen people using the Worlds ones for, who did get them, is it's like, this is a super sweet thing for me to rest my hands on my desk at home. Yes. And for like streaming games and stuff like that, where you can have a bumper on each side and it kind of makes the mat look cooler. But they do look, I mean, the prize support that you pulled out looked really, really nice. And the mat, the Ahsoka arriving through the hyperspace giant ring.
Yeah, so the Chimera
really pretty as well. Yeah.
I was really pleased with that. So Dathomir in the background, and then, is it called the Ring of?
That thing.
Yeah.
That Star Wars thing.
With the Chimera in the middle. I was, again, really pleased with how that came out.
Yeah. Yeah, they look really, really nice. They look super clean. Mm. I mean, as I say, my thought the whole time is, like, when I go to events, I want everything to be as kind of compact as possible. But that's me, and maybe I, you know, I'm not right all the time. Who knew? You know, these things seem to be popular, so we are looking at seeing if we can get them at some tier of pricing for the STO as well. Get a couple, but we won't have such cool art on them. We'll have our big ugly logo with Sith Taker Open 2025 top something written on it, and then that'll be it. Well, because, you know, we lack class.
There's a certain amount of prestige to having like top four or top eight or whatever printed on your thing, isn't there?
It's why we did the things last year when we did the binders, the card binders with the logo on them for, I think it was top four. It was just like, this is something that you'll use, and you might not use it for X-Wing, but you might use it for a different game that you play, but you're a nerd and this is a card binder, so you'll use it. And every time you get it off the shelf, you'll look at it and you'll go, oh yeah, that's from when I got top four of the STO.
Sure.
Cool. You know, because I still look at my hyperspace trial Millennium Falcon card binder every time I pull a resistance list out, and I go, oh yeah, I won that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's nice, isn't it? Having those memories.
We're getting soft. We're getting all soft and emotional. Can I segue now, Tim? Tim's put himself on mute. I'm going to segue.
That's fine. I'll allow it.
Okay.
Well, I just thought, you know, it's, you know, credit where credit's due.
Yeah, no, it was really nice.
I appreciate it. It's important to me that people come to either my event or Team Yorkshire event and think that the pricing's excellent. That's what I'm aiming for. It's and Patriot makes that very easy to do.
This is a nice segue because the events that you run in Team Yorkshire has grown quite significantly over the last couple of years. It kind of went from being kind of you, Nick, whose surname I've forgotten.
Nick Burke.
Kester and kind of Tom on occasion, but not because he was often not able to play because of family commitments and work and stuff. Mm. And now when you guys turn up to events, it seems like you bring a minibus every time you turn up somewhere. So what's going on in Sheffield and
what's Leeds going on in
and
Sheffield?
Surrounding areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think the surrounding area certainly helps. having Leeds and York and yourselves all within like an hour, the sort of the North of England is a, it's got a good competitive scene. In terms of what's happening in Sheffield, I was always surprised by how small the X-Wing scene was in Sheffield. Sheffield's a big city. And when we were getting four people on an X-Wing night, it felt really bad. We've got two big universities, so a huge turnover of young people. And I really wanted to push it. I like organising things. I like having a little side project on. So yeah, I self-appointed myself as the captain of Steel City X-Wing. and just started organising things and getting people to events. So we've got two Discords. We have like a outward-facing Discord, which is effectively dead, but we have an internal one. And we, every tournament that's coming up, I stick it in the Discord. It has its own channel. It's like, who's going to this? Here's the ticket link. It's this date. And who's driving? And it really increases that accessibility.
Yeah.
And to get people into to the Discord, I think the main thing with X-Wing is turning up. So the number of times it's been me and one other, and my instinct is, I don't want to go and play this person three times on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I can stop at home and play on TTS. But by turning up and having that presence in the game store, people see you. People see X-Wing is a great looking game.
Yeah.
People see X-Wings and Falcons and TIE Fighters on the board, and they always come and have a look. And I'll talk to anybody. So if they come over, like, oh, it's this X-Wing. Like, yeah, it's, you know, I'll tell them roughly what's going on and move some ships about and roll some dice. And it's grown from there. We're really lucky to have the players we've got. We've got a really good, welcoming group. So we've got a real mixed bunch of ages and abilities. And it helps that Patriot let us play for free.
That's always good.
That always helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I think the key thing is to turn up, even if it's just the two of you, turn up, wear your club shirt, just be there. Let people know that you're there. Post your nights on Facebook or Discord or wherever it is. But having that presence, even though it might not feel it, it might feel like your club's shrinking and dying. You've got to turn up. You've got to be there.
So I think just to build on what you've said, there's a lot of times that we'll be playing an element on a Tuesday night and people will walk past and say, I thought X-Wing was dead. And you go, there's 10 of us here playing. Yeah. It's not dead. If you want another go, pull your ships out and come down. We're here every Tuesday. And they go, oh, no, I haven't really played since version one. And you go, it's still as much fun as it ever was.
Yeah.
It's slightly different now than it used to be when you were used to playing it. And I'm like, all right. You know, and occasionally you get somebody who comes over and tells you that they don't like X-Wing for whatever reason. Or, you know, you get people who, you know, just come and tell you that Battlestar Galactica ships look better than Star Wars ships. And then you politely tell them that they're incorrect and that they should go away. But it's like, well, what? No, they're not. Go away. Star Wars ships are the best looking ships in the world. Leave. Yeah.
And it was they like, make no sense from a physics point of view. But it's not real. Go away. These look great.
Yeah. And as you say, we always get people coming past and going, you know, oh, this is X-Wing. We've had people when Element do, you know, have a go days, which they do kind of once every 3-6 months, something like that. Yeah. Where basically people just come past and they'll just be like, oh, yeah, I've always liked the look of this kind of thing. And I think it's too big a topic to get into at this point in the cast, but there's just something about the way that we can now buy people into the game or get people into the game. So there's a young lad who started coming down to Element. He came to one of the Learn to Play things. He really enjoyed it, which was weird because it was Ben that talked him through it, but there we go. And he's turned up, his parents have bought him the starter set. So the one X-Wing, two TIE Fighter starter set. And he's turned up and he said, I'd like to learn how to play X-Wing. And we've, you know, played a few games with him, played some Aces High with him and all this kind of stuff, and chatting to his parents. And they've kind of said, well, what do we do to get him more stuff? And it's not an easy conversation to have with a parent or with a young person who doesn't have their own income, because you're saying, first of all, pick a faction. You might pick a bad faction, but pick a faction, because that's the cheapest way to start is to pick one faction, not all seven. And then, depending on which faction you buy, then your route changes. Because if you pick Rebels or Imperials, then we'll point you towards this box, that box, and those boxes. If you pick Clones, we'll point you towards all of these boxes. And then, you know, you're kind of then almost wanting to say, look, whisper it, we're in the game store where they sell this stuff, but you might be better looking at eBay or Facebook, Facebook, and buying a job lot from somebody who's selling out, and just taking what you get, you know, setting a budget, being strict with your budget. And honestly, a lot of players will just say, you know, yeah, I'll take 100 quid. I mean, there was a couple of lads who bought a selling out player's entire collection for 100 quid at an Element War boot sale. And it was a crazy amount of stuff. Like it was at least three of everything for three factions. And the guy was just like, I just want it gone. I don't care about the money now. I just want it gone. And there was, you know, promos and prize support and, you know, acrylic, like about four sets of third-party acrylic templates. And, you know, there was literally 700-800 quid's worth of stuff there if he'd parted it out and sold it separately. It was like, I just want it gone. So he binned it off for 100 quid, and, you know, three lads got X-Wing as a result of that.
Sadly is the way to go. I'm having a very similar situation with my nephew. He's 13.
Yeah.
And his parents haven't got a clue. And from their perspective, it's potentially quite an expensive thing to buy into. But
yes,
when the Warhammer players or whatever game come across, I should say you could probably buy all of X-Wing for about the cost of one army. It's pre-painted, but you can repaint it if that's what you like. Quid. So like, you could get not far off everything.
Yeah, we've got a couple of Warhammer players who kind of jumped in because they wanted a totally different game to be as a secondary game. Mm-hmm. And they were like, when they started, they were just like buying boxes of new stuff and like tournament trays and all these different like bits and bobs and odds and sods and pieces and of stuff. And we were just like, why are you buying all that? Like, you don't need all that. And they were like, it was cheap. I was like, it's not. You can get it for like a fifth of the price if you go if you go on eBay or somewhere or Facebook or whatever, and just buy a job lot from somebody. And they're like, no, we're Warhammer players. We're used to dropping 800 quid once every 6 months. It's fine. And we were like, right, that's okay. Carry on, whatever. Yeah. It's fine, you know. But
it's all about like perspective, isn't it? Because having that conversation with my nephew's parents doesn't go down hugely well when they want to buy him one ship for his birthday.
Yeah, which ship should we buy him? Yeah. Well, buy him this box that's got four ships in it.
Yes, it's but no, it's turn up, be present, share that you're having a good time. That's it. Just keep playing.
Cool. And I think that's what we did post COVID when, and like version 2 and then even version 2.5 hit. We had a couple of nights when it was, you know, me and Ben, or me, Ben and Dave Sutcliffe, or me, you know, or the three of us plus one other person, you know, and you'd be trying to find like just the will to play. I was Dave as well, Dave Lever from Element, and he's amazing because when he's in the shop and he sees people looking at X-Wing stuff, he just goes and talks to them and says, it's a really fun game, and he plays everything, so he knows everybody. If anybody talks about X-Wing, he just says, well, they're here every Tuesday night, and they'll lend you stuff. So like what we've been doing with that young lad at the minute is everybody who's a seasoned player, like who attends every week, has been packing three lists into their Feltair bag and bringing them with them. And one of those lists is always something with minimal upgrades, which is a here we can learn to fly ships list.
Yeah.
but also, you know, things like when you get new players in who aren't experienced tabletop gamers, often playing things like Aces High or Doubles is actually another one that's really good for new players, because you can stand them next to somebody and you'd be like, right, you've got this one ship that's worth 9 points. You can have Vader and a Defender. I'll do all of the support work over here. And yes, you just focus on not landing on rocks and murdering people. Okay. And they go, cool, let's do that. And, you know, you can say to them, oh, no, I wouldn't do that move, because if you do that move, it's going to hit that rock or whatever. You know, you can peer over the shoulder a little bit.
Yeah. Certainly help, can't you? It's...
Yeah. We had a lot of fun playing Aces High with some new players, because we introduced them to low-level politics with a small p that soon turned into high-level politics with a big p. It was like, you wouldn't do that, would you? Not to me. Not with Sith Taker open tickets going on sale next week. All this kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's a very fun format.
It is. Cool. So there's a little bit on community building. Talking of things that are building the community, well, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to prepare Liam here so he can get himself ready. So take a deep breath and get yourself ready, because I think you might be about to go off on one. So a couple of weeks ago, we announced that AMG had announced that the final tier level of organized play was going to be grand tournaments. Grand tournaments represent the top level of competitive organized play, the article said. They provide players who wish the opportunity to test their skills against a wide swathe of other players from there and other regions who wish to travel the circuit. The winner of each grand tournament is marked as a player of exceptional skill, having overcome a diverse field of opponents. So the first sentence of that, grand tournaments represent the top level of competitive organized play. A lot of people went, rightly, I think, to, that means Worlds is cancelled.
Yeah, that's a black and white statement.
That's what it means.
Yeah, right. And the fact that some people are now saying, well, maybe we just misinterpreted it. I don't know how, what, like, we've spent so long, actually, this is like a thing to say, is we've spent a long time trying to be as positive as we can about the game and about what AMG are doing and about, like, trying to maintain like energy about the game, and we are going to continue doing that, but there's a point where elements of the community seem to almost want to gaslight people to say, no, AMG didn't mean that, we just misread it, and it's written in black and white, grand tournaments represent the top level of competitive organized play. So everybody went off, Liam went off, I went off, and we had a bit of an argument with me saying, oh, maybe it's not that bad because of all this kind of stuff and blah blah blah. And then last week, and they'll probably make another announcement tomorrow after we've recorded this, because they seem to be doing their announcements on Tuesday mornings, or Tuesday night, sorry. But the last week, they did another announcement where they said, Adepticon 2025. We are excited to announce, in partnership with Adepticon 2025, that we will do a World Open Championship for all of our game lines, including Star Wars X-Wing. It is the pinnacle of competition by inviting all and any players from across the globe to come and compete in a series of heats. So, fine, you've brought in a new one. It's a World Open. Fine, I kind of get that. That's all right. But then the rationale for saying that GTs represented the top level of competitive organized play was because they wanted to be inclusive and allow everybody to play at the top level of competitive play, whether you were able to attend a 32-person convention-style event at your local or in your nearby area, or whether you were able to go to something like the UK Games Expo or whatever. But then they've now said, well, actually, we're still going to have a Worlds at Adepticon, but it's going to be an open. So
it's just more very disjointed, unclear communication, isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
I'm not sure they've got two hands. Go on, it's Liam, go on.
I disagree with that. I think they know exactly what they're doing, but they realised they dropped the ball that badly.
So you think they pivoted in 2 weeks from there's not going to be a Worlds to organising with Adepticon to run a Worlds?
I reckon they were just organising the GT, as they would have been anyway, but then they realised through community backlash, and I think it was right to give them that backlash, that they were like, oh, maybe this is a mistake.
So
I think 100% was.
No, I think I agree with you that it was a mistake. I think I would counter your point that they pivoted with, at what point in the last 3 years have they ever listened to community feedback on anything? Never mind.
They're allowed to
never grow. Mind. Listen to it and acted on it in 2 weeks. I think it's a left hand problem.
So I think they can pivot because they're already organising the tournament. All they have to do now is go, we just need to add prize support for this. That's all it is, because you'll buy your ticket the same way, because it's an open, anyone can go. It's the old FFG format of buy a ticket and you're welcome.
Yeah. And then you can stick a sticker on a GT thing with championship written on it, can't you?
Exactly. So there's no way this is we planned this all along. And it's great that we've got a Worlds. I think the reason that people are still mad is, well, the reasons that people are still mad, including myself, is we were given the communication that Worlds was no more. And it was confirmed, whether you take the quote from their website saying GTs are the pinnacle of high performance X-Wing, or the fact that someone from their organised play team put a tick reaction on someone saying, so Worlds is done then. We need clear communication, but it's the fact that they just haven't read the room at any point. They've seen these continuously high turnouts for Worlds and they've gone, this is really exclusive. But X-Wing was their highest attendance event. And it's not like we're staying silent around them. We're constantly trying to communicate with them. Some people communicate better than others. But it's just so frustrating. The only plus we've got out of this is that we've still got Worlds. We lost it for 2 weeks or a week, however much it was, but we have got it back and we've got what we wanted. What we don't want is the disappointment and the emotional reaction to losing something that we shouldn't have lost in the first place and we weren't ultimately losing. We don't need that emotional roller coaster because we're already on it. We're already a little bit glum about how AMG are communicating about the game, supporting the game. Why disappoint us further? Why send us down this spiral when you could just not?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two things to point out about this, is that this is back to the old Worlds Open style of event. So fastest finger first, buy a ticket for Adepticon, buy a ticket for Star Wars X-Wing. There'll be two heats with some form of progression into either a third day Swiss or a cut or whatever. But basically, you're fundamentally back to the way that it was in, I think, 2018, before the hyperspace trials and invites started turning up, where you could win an invite to Worlds, which FFG needed to do because the game center was getting too full. Adepticon has obviously now got enough space that they can give room to run these big events, but you know there will be a limit on how many people can go. I've annoyed myself by now realizing that I went to Worlds a year early because going with a full day of X-Wing to try and win a place in the next day, not an LCQ, but not a win all your games or you don't get through tournament, but just go and play some games of X-Wing over a couple of days. And if you get through, great. If you don't, then, we'll have some side events for you. Would have been a much better deal for me. I'm not going to get to go to Worlds again, I don't think. Certainly not next year. I'm happy enough with that. For the community. I think the other thing that I kind of want to say is that I think that a lot of venom from the community has been directed towards the designers of the game, because they're the visible presence from AMG. We see kind of Wilshick and Plummer getting a lot of ragging about what they're doing, what they're not doing, about the communication, about, you know, whatever, because they're the visible names to the community. And I have got to the point now where I don't believe that they have any control over what's going on in AMG whatsoever. I don't believe that they know any more than we do as a community about what is happening and why it's happening. I think that if you want to point at somebody in AMG, it's got to be the head of studio. You've got to go up to the very top, because they're the person who's got control of budgets, who's got control of strategic direction, who's got control of hiring. So if the communications are bad and demonstrably terrible company at doing communications with their communities, and it has been since they took this game over during COVID, or just post COVID, there's been 3 years when they could have hired a comms person to sort that out. You know, they could have put strategies and roadmaps out. They haven't. They could have arranged things to be announced in advance. They haven't. Stuff just doesn't get done. And it looks like it's a corporate strategy. Now, it's a valuable IP. AMG is still owned by Asmodee. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that Asmodee has been spun off as its own entity with a massive wedge of debt, which we've read up on it a bit more. It's a bit concerning, but we're not a financial podcast, so we're not going to go into the details of the financial hole that Embracer Group have landed Asmodee in. It's legal. It might not be moral, but, you know, suffice to say, they don't make enough money to service the debt effectively. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, there just seems to be this abject lack of strategic direction, of corporate leadership in AMG. And I get the impression that this is the industry, this is the game industry, right? It's led by people who work for peanuts because they want to work in the industry, and the big corporates and the financial people know that they can pay less because people will want to work in it, and they can squeeze people and they'll continue to do their best. We are now getting a game that has all of the hallmarks of Wormhordes, which is what Schick cut his teeth on. You know, things like standard loadouts are what he used to have in those games. Those games which were relatively successful but didn't have the big IP of Star Wars sitting across the top of them. So, you know, they're churning back out content under the same structure that they've done before. But everything around the strategy, the corporate like direction is just, for me, it's just lacking.
It's like every announcement comes as a complete surprise out of the blue.
Yeah.
And it all seems so random and confused, and it is frustrating.
I've come to peace with the designers. Like, I think it was Yavin was designed by, I think it was Max and Brooke.
I think it was Hotshot 2. They were brought in.
Yeah, so they were brought back in to just produce some product that aligned with the thing, because obviously AMG didn't have the headspace to do it. Clearly, we now know they were working on Shatterpoint at that point in time. But AMG is actually a really small, like genuinely small company. They are not a big group of people. Sorry, Liam, what were you going to say, man?
So just rolling back a bit, I think someone did the stats on how many posts AMG actually put out. Yeah. And I think if I looked over the last 6 months, or it might have been three, there was 50 plus related to Shatterpoint / Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and 2 posts for X-Wing.
For everything else.
Yeah.
Because Shatterpoint and Marvel are the things that they designed. So that's
Yeah, which is, I mean, for a game in its flagship year, Shatterpoint had an alarmingly low turnout for Worlds, which is why I kind of feel like they had this idea to just bring the competitive barrier down to just GTs. And I don't think they realised how much it would hurt the other game systems that are more competitive. They've said from the start they're not a competitive games company, and they've inherited a game that is inherently competitive.
Yeah,
and I don't think they know how to handle that, because they've always had this more casual approach. And I think it's a different beast. And instead of trying to understand it, they've tried to change it, which I think personally is the wrong approach.
Yeah.
It's a learning opportunity. Take it instead of going, well, we don't know how this is. Let's just bring it into what we understand. I think it's a mindset that's scared of growth, but they have their own things they want to grow. So it's like getting an abandoned houseplant from your mom when you move in.
Look after this.
Look after this. I've loved this.
I think that's a good analogy of the houseplant. It begs the question, why don't they create some sort of community-based leadership group and, you know, request a 3 or 6 monthly report with recommendations of what the game needs? And they could do that for free.
Well, they might have done that. We just we're not inside that tent.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons, like, because if you're providing them with a service, then they have to pay you, it has to be compensated in some way, or they have to get you to sign up to various things. And if you've no quid pro quo on you doing all that work for them, then, you know, you wouldn't. That's the belief of the corporate commercial.
That's the belief. People would do it. I think people are.
They would.
People are increasingly poised to take over in a community-led X-Wing project. I know it's tried before, and it's not a rabbit hole that I want to or think we should go down right now, but people are poised to do it. And I think if they had announced X-Wing was complete, then people were ready to go.
So they won't ever announce X-Wing complete, I believe, because they lose the commercial tail that they have at the moment. It is not that, and I think the thing with X-Wing at the moment is that it is not a commercially successful game anymore. It's had its glory day, it's had its big payout. Now they've got a residual tail of people who buy everything, but they buy a few of them. And the more they release things that you only need to buy one of, like card packs, the smaller that tail is going to get. If they released a ship now that was swarmable and was viable as a swarm, everybody would buy 6 of them and they would get a massive spike. The problem is that they need to do the big front-loaded design, build, modeling, sculpting, production costs of all of that, which takes 2 years, on the off chance that in 2 years' time, everybody still cares enough about the game to go out and sink 150 quid on 6 copies of a ship, or more than that. And some of us will, but, you know, whether they're willing to take the risk commercially, I don't think so, which is why I think that they're going to stick with cards at the moment in the short term.
Any content would be progress.
Well, I mean, we've had Endor in the last 2 months, so
yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying
we should get Punch right this month, next month, maybe before the expo.
If I should.
Well, we should. We would hope.
We would like. I think is reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, we would like. So the UK Games Expo is in the end of this month, 31st of March, May to the 2nd of June, in Birmingham. Last year, points came out about 10 days before the expo started. So we've had the current set of points for a year, less the slight tweak that came in a couple of weeks before the STO.
The very cold hot fix.
Yeah, the very cold hot fix that nerfed a couple of things and then left everything else fine as it was because it was fine. if we don't get a points update soon, I think that's going to be more damaging to the community than anything else, because people are now just bored of playing into arcs and B-wings. And, you know, B-wings are a new thing. They're an Endor thing, but people are already bored of playing into arcs and B-wings. So, you know, but that's the nature of the beast. If you don't refresh the points, you're gonna just lose them.
It has to change either with points or new content. And you could see how much the hotfix re-energized the community.
Yeah.
And hand being squashed, which is basically all it was, that let other things become more popular and more powerful. And that tiny tweak changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
The same with Endor. They've done that one card pack, and now B-Wings are dominant. They released the TIE Bombers, and if you're flying Empire and not that Tomax, that three-point Tomax, the only ship that makes Sabine look expensive, then that's changed the face of Empire now. It's so easy to do it.
Yeah, just one ship. Like, the starter pack, Vader, is another example, because it's stupid. Like, that one ship is a reason why people are willing to spend 50, 60 quid on a starter pack for Empire. But the Rebel starter packs do not get sold. People don't buy them because they're not worth buying.
There's nothing in it.
And if they drop the price of all of the standard loadout cards by 1 point, suddenly everybody goes and buys one of those boxes. And they, you know, they just say, oh, yeah, sorry, this standard loadout look shouldn't be 6. It should be 5. It shouldn't be 5. It should be 4. And these A-Wings that we've priced all at 4, they should all be 3 or whatever. Suddenly flying off the shelves. Anyway, we're circling a drain of negativity.
We are going down
back out of that. Let's bring it back out of that. We touched a little bit before about the GTs. We have applied for the STO to be a GT. We also know that our friends at Element have applied for all of the game systems to be GTs. So we've basically done a two-pronged approach to try and get a GT at Element Games. We don't know if we're going to get one. We'll find out in about a week and a half. Well, sorry, that's when they've said that they'll announce, but whether the announcement happens then and how we find out, we'll find it out. I will lay down a challenge to any GT to basically say, if you can beat us for ticket sales on the STO, then I might just send you a biscuit or something on the internet, like and subscribe to your YouTube channel or something.
Yeah,
I won't spit at you if you beat us.
I don't think any of the UK ones will go over the STO, but they have been launched with enough time so that the dates of the events that we are expecting to be announced as GTs, being the UK Games Expo, Sheffield, Nottingham, Reading, is it, and London, are the five that they've said so far.
Presumably,
those have been announced. The dates for those have been announced because they're being run by the WTC guys that run the LGT guys that run that event. They're running all of those other events, and they've already said they're going to run X-Wing at them, and they're going to apply for GTs, and Chris Mitchell's going to be TOing for them. So if anything was ever going to be a shoe-in for being a GT, it's those five events that he's already committed to TOing. We'll see. But I can't see them being bigger than us, but I want them to be, because if they can grow bigger than we can, if they can get over 150, 200 players in a place playing X-Wing together, then that's phenomenal. And that's what we want. That's the world we want to get back to.
That would be fantastic. It just doesn't seem realistic, does it?
Yeah. I mean, if we've got 146 players and a 31 wait list, that's 177. Plus, if it gets that big, you then might get more people from abroad or people being put off. But at the minute, unless the STO could find a venue for 200 people, we wouldn't know if we would sell out, if that makes sense. Like, we don't know how big the room needs to be to fit everybody in, because there is a weird snowball effect to big events. Like, I remember the 650 person system open, like went to 300 and somebody went, oh, it's amazing, it's 300, but last year was 500. And it was like, oh no, it's gone over 500 now, right? It's bigger than last year. And then suddenly another 150 people bought tickets. And it was like, why? It was like, because it's the biggest X-Wing event there's ever been. So we've got to go to it. We can't miss it just in case there isn't another one. We've got to go.
Yeah, it builds momentum. I endlessly badger people who've said they're going to come to an event to sign up.
Yeah.
Because once people see much, like, smaller scale, but once the event hits 16, people are like, oh, yeah, it's a real event all of a sudden. Then once it gets to 30, they're like, oh, actually, this is a medium-sized event now. And like you say, it snowballs or builds momentum. And it's exciting when it happens.
It is. It's good. Like, and it can take time. This is what I kind of said to Dylan about Welsh Open. You've got to run it. And if you run it for 30 people, and if it gets smaller after the first year or if it gets bigger, but it will eventually grow as long as you keep running it. Mm-hmm. As long as you keep growing the event and keep promoting the event and keep putting effort into the event, then it will continue to build. Yeah. And people will be like, oh, yeah, it was a really good show last year. Yeah, we'll go back again. You know,
it was fantastic last year. We took 10 and we loved it.
Yeah,
the timing of the Sheffield GTs hurt it a lot.
Yeah, is it? Yeah, it's around the same time, isn't it?
I think it's the week before.
Yeah. This is the thing that happens, though. Once you get OP, trying to fit your non-OP event into the calendar it's so important because you basically have to dodge. An event takes 3 weeks out of the calendar because if you've got a big event on week one, week two, you can't have anything on week one or week three.
Yeah, sure.
Because people just won't go because they can't afford two big trips. Yeah. But there's a mass like fashion
that you've probably quashed the Midlands GT, right? With the take over next year.
What the Nottingham one is that?
Yeah,
supposed to be the weekend before us or 2 weeks before us, maybe.
Yeah,
possibly.
People who aren't local will choose one of them. And it looks like you're winning.
There isn't an X-Wing scene in the Midlands at the minute.
It was a weird choice.
East Midlands. Well, East Midlands. East Midlands. Yeah, specifically Nottinghamshire will be. But yeah.
It's a very odd location choice. I mean, Sheffield's not far enough north. I'm personally thrilled. But Sheffield's not far enough north to cater to the north.
Yeah. I can tell you why they've put one in Nottingham. And it makes perfect sense because the LGT team run Warhammer tournaments and Nottingham is the home of Warhammer. And there are thousands of people who will travel wherever in the country to play Warhammer. So they're going to run a GT event in Nottingham. And then they've said, we're going to run 5 GT events and we'll make them all X-Wing GTs as well. And that's why they've done it. They haven't picked Nottingham because of X-Wing. They've picked it.
So they run a lot more GTs than there are X-Wing ones that have X-Wing. So there's practically one every 2 months, I think, around the country.
Birmingham has one, which would have been much more X-Wing. Leeds has one, which again is not much further north. But
like Oxford may have one as well. There are loads around the country for 40K. I think it's probably the reason they picked that is they've already established the 40K GTs and then they wanted to space out the ones that had X-Wing. And it may be just where on the calendar that they went, oh, it's Nottingham this month is why it's there. But
it seems short-sighted.
Also, we have brought the Sith Taker Open forward. Was it not a bit later?
Yeah, it was the end of February, but we brought it. It was only at the end of February for 1 year. It had been at the start of February the year before, and we couldn't get the start of February because it was booked. So they were trying to move us into April and May time, and we were like, no, it needs to be before Worlds, which is the end of February and March.
They do. So January is Nottingham. February is Coventry, which is a team event. February, then Northampton. South Coast Super Major in March, Manchester in March, Oxford in April. So I mean that I'm not even halfway down the list.
It's every couple of weeks then, basically.
Yeah,
there's so many. It feels like it could have been done better. I am a little concerned about the Sheffield GT. The location it's at is frankly horrible. I'm not naive enough to think that people think Sheffield's a nice city. I would tell you otherwise, but it's not got the best reputation. Where they're hosting the GT is a council-run sports hall. It is in the wrong part of town. It's grim. There's no hotels. There's very few public transport links. There's nowhere to go and grab lunch. You certainly don't want to leave any valuables on display in your car. It's horrific. It just seems it's... I'm dreading people coming to that part of Sheffield.
It's so like if I want to do a crime spree that weekend...
GT, you'll be rubbing shoulders with little scrouts trying to break into your car. It is.
They'll help me.
Yeah, yeah. They'll see you as their pirate king. It's
so if anyone wants to buy a 40k army the week after Sheffield GT, if you just get in touch, I'll tell you what I've got on offer. It'll be well painted, I'm sure.
It sounds to me like it's being run in a sports hall that is cheap. And it's cheap because of where it is, and they probably don't connect the fact that it's cheap because of where it is.
Yeah. It's we've got so many venues centrally. We, as Steel City X-Wing, have reached out to the organisers of and the TOs of the Sheffield GT. Just, like quite a few people have messaged me, being like, "Oh, you know what's happening?" I'm like, "I have no idea."
Yeah.
I've advised people on hotels, and I'm looking at putting a few people up in my house. But yeah, I don't know. I've messaged them with no reply, which is, I don't know, it just seems like a shame. It feels like a real missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, we have to see how they go.
We're looking at doing a Friday night social at Patriot, at our game store, for anybody who is traveling up for that weekend. But
yeah. And Patriot's quite big as well, so it's got quite a lot of space for games.
Chatting to Jim, he said he would have done it if they'd spoken to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a game store. Of course he would. Get bodies in, get bums on seats, sell cans of Coke. All right, we've run pretty long, so I think it is going to be time to wrap it up. But I get the feeling we've got more to talk about on the GTs. We'll be going to some of them. We might be helping to judge some of them. If we're lucky, there might be one element. If we're doubly lucky, it might be the Sith Taker Open, but we just have to wait and see. We have communicated a lot with AMG in the past about making community run events into official, in inverted commas, events. So I'm very happy to see that they're doing that. I just want to see them as community run events, not...
If they don't take you up on making this Sith Taker Open a GT, that's only their loss. You've already got a fantastic event.
Yeah, it doesn't. To be honest with you, Dan, I thought when it first got announced that I would be annoyed if we didn't, and I don't think I would be. Just shrug my shoulders and continue.
It's their loss.
I mean, yeah, it makes, like, it literally makes no difference. And they might look at it that way and be like, well, we don't need to promote the game there, because that's a huge group of people. We don't get anything by turning that into a GT, but we might get something by turning something else into a GT. We might get new players or whatever, but the STOs, just all the existing players, all get together and play a big tournament. But yeah. I mean, anyway, thank you very much for coming on, Dan. I very much enjoyed it. Do you want to do some shout outs for the whole of Steel City?
I mean, from what I understand, we are already in everyone's head, and the envy of the X-Wing community. But thanks to everyone that shows up. We're growing, we're doing well. Continue on as we are.
You've got an advantage that the rest of us don't have, which is that you've got one of the world's coolest people, singer, songwriter, movie director, professional surfer, Jack Johnson, is an X-Wing player who plays at Steel City.
We are celebrity endorsed.
Level of truth as to whether it's the same Jack Johnson or not.
I briefly wondered if you were talking about Kez there when you were...
I don't want to think about Kester in a wetsuit. But...
No. What else? Yeah. I know we're running long, so I'll not whittle on. But we're going to Belgium. Team Yorkshire will be going back. That's something that we're on with. That's kind of Steel City, isn't it? I find myself running that as well, but being to pass it off at some point, we'll see.
No, you're fine. I remember when Phil Blackmore, when he was X-Wing dad for the Just Play lads in Liverpool, moved house and didn't continue going to Just Play anymore. And suddenly they all just stopped attending big events because he wasn't there to tell them that the event was happening and where to go, and to tell them that they needed to put their shoes on to leave the house to get to the event and stuff like that. So
it sounds terrifyingly familiar.
All right, Liam, have you any shout outs, mate?
I want to shout out Toby and Adam. I do not want to shout out the traffic, which delayed our arrival. And everyone that attended, obviously, Tom Reed, Tim King, and the odd rich lookalike in Ellie, and then Matt Flockhart and Oliver Taylor Holmes. It was just nice to be there. All their money exploded. But no, it was fun. It was nice to go 4-0. Even I guess if my team didn't go 4-0.
A special little mention to Liam's mom, who baked him some cake to take to the event. It was the sweetest thing.
Oh, I thought you'd just gone to Tesco's, Liam.
No. So I said to her, I was like, I've got an X-Wing event. There's going to be like 30 people. Can you make me some brownies so I can take them along? Because I know that sometimes people don't have time to nip out and get food and whatever. And sometimes they're stuck with the options. I was like, oh, it'll be a nice little thing. And they took them.
Incredibly well received.
Some advantages to living at home, eh, Liam?
Preach. It's the only one I got.
And you don't have to mow your own grass, which is all I've spent this weekend doing. So there you go.
No, although I told my dad I wasn't going to be about tomorrow. And he was like, so he's going to help me mow the grass? And I was like, the same person that's helped you the last 6 months. And he went, oh, charming.
He's going to make you sing for your supper soon, then you'll be in trouble.
I make my own food. They don't like cooking potatoes every day.
Fair enough. Brown food. Tim, have you any shout-outs?
Just I'll keep it quick because you know we've chatted about the team event, but obviously it was good fun playing with everybody. Tom and Ellie especially. My only real shout out is going to be for Ollie Williams. We had a cracking game online in the fam team event. I won, but I cheated. But he let me off, so thank you, Ollie. So yeah, apologies because it's an interesting format with the team event where basically everybody is pretty much taking scum or CIS due to the list restrictions. So I put some stuff on the table that I've never practiced with, never flown, thought this would be really cool. Halfway through the game, I had this awesome idea to do this particular maneuver. And Ollie's like, yeah, that's really cool. And then afterwards, basically, it was decloaking and then dropping a bomb. And when I was chatting to my teammates afterwards, they're like, yeah, you can't do that. I was like, okie doke. But Ollie, oh yeah. We had issues in the game with other things like timing and stuff, so we basically just said it was too late to roll it back after that point.
No.
So, yeah. Sorry, Ollie, I cheated you. You beat me.
He was at the team event as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, the bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rude. Just a quick one that I want to mention is we talked about it a little bit, but the World Team Championship in Mechelen in Belgium, tickets are for sale for a team. It is €300 for a team of 5 players. They've got it capped at 32 teams of 5 players, and you'll get to play 10 rounds of X-Wing across 2 days. So that's €60 per person for basically a massive room full of nerds all playing games.
Does include some lunch, of them though.
Playing X-Wing. It does.
Yeah, we did last year, and the food's all right, actually. It was sort of decent.
It didn't include lunch last year.
Did it not?
No, Tom Veal stole a hot dog, and they got told you have to pay for it.
Okay. I'm sure I'd got it. Never mind. I told lies then, but I mean, I would still say it's worth it. Like, although I'm not going back this year.
It was
treat it as a holiday, go out a few days beforehand. I mean, we had cracking weather. I did a post on our Facebook page just basically shouting about it. And I mean, a lot of information I put on our Facebook page regarding the event if you're interested.
Yeah. So yeah, they are also running a singles tournament, which they've applied to be a GT, which I think is running on the Thursday.
Friday.
On the Friday, yeah. Sorry, the team's...
Friday. So the
team, yeah.
Yeah. The team event runs Saturday, Sunday. And then yeah. Last year, the singles event was just like a warm-up for your next couple of days, but they're looking at grow. Well, we're looking at growing that in size. Yeah. And it's now been... They're in the process of trying to get it approved for a GT. So there's more inclination to come and practice, I guess.
Yeah. So if you wanted to play that plus the team event, you'd basically be paying €90. So it's €30 a day to play X-Wing. And yeah, the ticket for, as I said, the 128 players and upper limit for the singles. With 5+ rounds, it says. So I guess that depends on what the format is. And if it becomes a GT, then they'll have to align to that format anyway. So that would be a bit of a sweater if you had to go straight into the team championship the next day, if you'd had to play 5 rounds of Swiss plus 4 rounds of Cup in one day on the Friday night.
Jojo managed, right? He did it last year. Yeah. Gypsy Gambit up from Scotland.
Yeah.
Didn't he win the singles event and then go 10-0 across the UTC?
I don't think he was 10-0. I think only Ertz, he was 10-0 as FO.
I would double check that.
Although I might be misremembering it, but I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, that's WTC. There are tickets available and remaining. And if you're interested, last I heard, there were 5 French teams going and a couple of German teams and at least one English team. So
2.
Yeah. I said at least one. That includes 2. As a number.
That does include 2, yes. 2 from Team Yorkshire.
2 from Team Yorkshire. There you
we
go.
We grow in, yeah.
Plus possibly 1 from the rest of England. You never know what's going to happen. Cool. So we're going to call it on that one. We'll say goodbye from Dan.
Goodbye.
We'll say goodbye from Tim.
Goodbye.
We'll say goodbye from Liam.
Toodles.
And goodbye from me. Speak to you next time. Bye from Dan.
Good night.
I will say goodbye. What?
You let me say that again. No. As soon as I said that, that was wrong, wasn't it? Tim, make me not look stupid.
Definitely been left in now.
The amount of work I do for this podcast, making people not look stupid, including myself. Including myself, in fairness, you know.
Tim is the only person who Tim edits on a regular basis.
Maybe
it's like oh no yes. I know I didn't mean to say that, let me just edit out some things. Do you remember when you used to go through and cut out all the ums and ers as well?
Yeah, like I mean